and the verses we read together earlier. And this morning we're going to be thinking about Luke chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. So I'm just going to read those verses again. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." So it's a simple story, isn't it? Jesus and his disciples are traveling around. They're going from one place to another, and then they arrive in a village. And in that village is a lady called Martha. Martha has a house in this village. We don't know if it's the first time that Jesus has been here, but Jesus arrives and Martha invites him in. Actually, it's more than that, isn't it? Look at verse 38. Martha welcomed him in to her house. She's enthusiastic. She's hospitable. She's glad to have Jesus here in her home. If you think about it, that's very kind, isn't it? How many of them are here? Well, Jesus has been traveling with his disciples, hasn't it, as they went on their way. So does that mean Jesus is here with all of his disciples? If he is, that's 13 at least of them who've come into her home. Imagine a group of 13 men arriving this morning, visiting the church. How quick would you be to invite them back to Sunday lunch after the service? Think of the inconvenience. And these men have been travelling, haven't they? They're tired. They're dusty. Think of the footprints on the carpets. But in they come, and they gather in Martha's living room. They sit down, and Jesus begins to teach. And Martha and her sister Mary are invited to listen to Jesus teach. Actually, that was surprising in that culture. At that time, women's roles were very limited. There were some rabbis who even said, you shouldn't waste time teaching a woman. But Jesus was not like some rabbis. The message that he brought was for everyone. Everyone was valued. Everyone was welcome. And so Mary listens. Maybe Martha did as well. Maybe Martha began listening to Jesus, but it's not long before she leaves. After all, there's so many other things to do, aren't there? Dinner needs to be prepared. If there are 13 men here, hungry from travelling, that's lots of food. That's a big job. And Martha's hospitable. She wants this to be special. She's going to make an effort. She's not just going to stick some bread in the toaster. She's not just going to heat up some leftovers. She's going to prepare a good meal for these visitors. I don't know what that would have meant back then. Maybe there were pots and pans. Maybe there was chopping and kneading and marinating and boiling. Whatever it was they were doing, there was lots to do. And as Martha's preparing, she could really do with some help. And that's not a problem, is it? Because she's got a sister, Mary. And any moment now, Mary's going to come and help Martha. Except the moments pass, and Mary doesn't come and help Martha. And Martha begins to get slightly annoyed. I wonder whether she dropped a few hints. Maybe she made as much noise as possible. Maybe banging the pots and banging the pans. Maybe there was an occasional deep sigh, just loud enough so that Mary could hear. So that Mary would know, hey, I'm working hard here. Come and help me. But Mary doesn't get the hints. And Martha's irritation grows. And eventually she's just had enough. So she walks in and she says, "Excuse me, Jesus, I just need to interrupt you for a moment. But I'm doing all the work. And Mary's sat here doing nothing. It's just not fair. So please tell her to come and help me." Martha knows how Jesus is going to respond. It's obvious, isn't it? Jesus is going to say, "I'm sorry, Martha. Yeah, we didn't notice. We just got carried away. Come on, Mary, get your priorities right. Go and help your sister." But that's not what happens, is it? In fact, it's the opposite. According to Jesus, Mary has got her priorities right, and Martha's the one who's got it wrong. So that's the story. I wonder what your reaction was reading that story earlier. We're in the church where I'm one of the pastors. We're going through the book of Luke, and I had to preach this passage a few weeks ago. And when I first read this passage, I had two reactions. First reaction was, how on earth am I going to get a sermon out of this? I mean, it's only five verses, isn't it? Nothing eventful or particularly interesting happens. There's no miracles, there's no demons, there's no deep teaching. It's just some men and women talking about to have dinner. How am I going to fill a 30-minute sermon from these five verses? I'm not sure what to say. And my second reaction when I read these verses was, actually, my sympathy is all with Martha. I mean, Martha's been really kind here, hasn't she? She's been welcoming. She's hard-working. These guests need to be fed. Dinner isn't going to cook itself. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation when there's work to be done and you're the one doing it and you're expecting somebody to come and help and they just aren't coming to help you. Especially if it's your brother or sister who's not helping. That just makes it 10 times worse, doesn't it? And maybe when you're reading these verses, you just think, well, why doesn't Mary just get up and go and help her sister? And why on earth is Jesus commending Mary and not Martha? Maybe you felt the same reading these verses. So let's investigate a little bit further. What is it that Martha's got wrong? What is it that Martha's got wrong? Well, it wasn't wrong to serve people, was it? Martha's not wrong in serving people. You could be tempted, perhaps, to read these verses and think, great, that's one thing I can cross off the list. Hospitality's not important. Having people round and preparing food, it's just a waste of time. Jesus says, I don't need to bother doing that. Maybe that might be a relief for you to think that. If your cooking is as bad as mine, it's probably a relief for everyone else if that doesn't happen. But that can't be true, can it? That can't be what Jesus is saying in these verses. Why not? Because Jesus cared for and served people. Actually, just in the previous chapter, there's the story, isn't there, of the feeding of the 5,000. There's these crowds of people who've come to follow Jesus, and they're hungry, and Jesus cares about them. He tells his disciples to feed them, and then Jesus provides for them in this amazing miracle. Not only that, but Jesus taught his disciples to care for and serve people, didn't he? The previous section to these verses in Luke's Gospel, what's the verses before this story of Mary and Martha all about? Well, it's the story of the Good Samaritan. This powerful story teaching us about practical love for our neighbour. See, followers of Jesus are expected to serve others where they can. And hospitality is a brilliant way to do that. Opening our homes, sharing our time, sharing our food. Actually, Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. God wants us to do that. We're thankful, aren't we, for all of those who do that in our churches. We want to encourage more of that where we can. So Martha wasn't wrong to be serving people. Not only that, Martha wasn't wrong to be busy. Again, you might look at these verses and think, great, the lesson is Jesus doesn't want me to be doing much. In fact, perhaps the less I do, the better. Maybe I'll just resign my job and spend all day at home meditating or sitting in the garden and just thinking about things. Or maybe I'll go and join a monastery. Maybe that's what God wants. But that can't be true either. Can it? That can't be what Jesus is saying in these verses. Why not? Because Jesus was busy. I looked up in the dictionary what the word busy means, and according to the dictionary, busy means having a great deal to do. And if that's the definition of being busy, having a great deal to do, that's true of Jesus, isn't it? When you read through the book of Luke, he's travelling around everywhere. There's crowds of people following him. He's preaching, he's healing, he's talking, he's training, he's busy. And actually, Jesus instructed his disciples to be busy as well. At the beginning of chapter 10, Jesus sends out his disciples to do what he's been doing, to proclaim the kingdom. Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, chapter 10, verse 2, but the laborers are few. We need laborers who are going to give their time and their energy and their commitments. See, followers of Jesus are expected to be busy. God wants us to work hard, wants us to work hard in our jobs, in our marriages, in our parenting. And if we want to love each other and care for each other, if we want to be involved in the spread of the good news of the kingdom of Jesus, if we want to do the things a Christian and a church should do, it's going to mean busyness, isn't it? Days and weeks, our days and weeks are often going to be full. And in and of itself, that's not a bad thing. We're thankful in our churches for all those who are having a great deal to do. All of those who are busy serving God, serving others. Okay, so it's good to be hospitable. It's good to serve others. It's good to be busy. Martha was. So why on earth is Jesus not commending her in these verses? What is it that Martha's got wrong? Well, look again at verses 41 and 42. The Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. See, it's not that Martha was doing a wrong thing. It's just that Martha wasn't prioritizing the best thing. Not that Martha's doing a wrong thing, it's just she's not prioritizing the best thing. Why? What do I mean? Well, Jesus is here in her house. This is God's chosen one. The one who's come to carry out God's chosen mission. The one who's bringing good news. The one who's starting God's kingdom. And here he is in her house. He's teaching. He's speaking. And Martha has this amazing opportunity to listen to him, to spend time with him. Mary saw that. It's not that Mary's being lazy. She's not being inconsiderate. It's just Jesus is here. There's something more important than dinner. There's a better kind of food that can't be taken away, that lasts forever. And so for that hour or two, or however long Jesus was there teaching for, nothing mattered more than spending time with him and hearing what he had to say. I think these verses show us that listening to and knowing Jesus is the one thing necessary. But Martha was distracted. Verse 40. All that Martha can think of is all the things she needs to do. It's kind of taken over her. And even though they were good things, and even though I'm sure she had good intentions, for Martha, a good thing got in the way of the most important thing. And so kindly and gently, Jesus points Martha towards her. You are anxious and troubled over many things, but one thing is necessary. It's a matter of priorities. So that's the story. That's the meaning. What does any of this have to do with us today? Three simple applications for us from these verses. And the first is this. We can listen to Jesus and know Jesus personally today. We can listen to Jesus and know Jesus personally today. Maybe you're someone who's new to church. Maybe you're someone who's investigating Christianity. Maybe asking, what's it all about? What's Christianity all about? Well, here's the answer. Christianity is a message of good news all about Jesus. It's all about him. Luke is writing this gospel. He tells us at the beginning of chapter 1, he's writing this gospel to this man, Theophilus, and he's writing about, he's focusing on the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. He wants people to know who Jesus is, what Jesus has done, and why it matters. You see, what makes Christianity so different, so unique, so important, so much better news than any other message, is all about the man sitting in Martha's living room, Jesus Christ. Now you might think, okay, I get it. Martha should have stopped fussing about everything and just gone and spent time with Jesus. But hey, I'm not expecting Jesus to knock on my front door this week. That would be weird if that happened. And yeah, you shouldn't expect Jesus to come and knock on your front door this week. But that's why Luke is taking time to write this gospel. Luke is writing this gospel to this man, Theophilus, because Jesus is not going to come and knock on his front door either. Jesus is not going to come and sit in his living room either. But Theophilus can still listen to Jesus. And so can we. Because everything we need to know about Jesus is all recorded for us. His words, his message, his mission. It's all here for us. In the Bible. And it's more than that, isn't it? The Bible's not just another history book. The Bible's unique because God speaks to us through it. It's living, it's powerful, it's active, it changes us. That's why in our church services we spend so much time in the Bible. That's why we ask God to help us, because we can listen to Jesus today as well. But it's even more than that, isn't it? It's not just listening to Jesus, but we can know Jesus personally. If you think about it, that's an incredible claim, isn't it, at the heart of Christianity, that we can have a personal relationship with the living God. See, some people say Christianity is just boring. It's just dull. It's just irrelevant. But seriously? The Bible says there's a God. He's a God who had no beginning. He had no end. He'll have no end. This is a God who's so powerful, he can speak the whole universe into existence. This is a God who rules over everything. He's awesome. He's majestic. He's so big, you can't even begin to imagine how great he is. But you can know him personally. Not just know about him, but know him as a friend, as a father. You can experience his love. You can know his peace, his joy, his power, his presence through your life. And then through death, out the other side, you can live with him in a new creation forever. Maybe this morning you've not realized that. Maybe when you think of what Christianity is all about, you think of something that's heavy and burdensome and dull and maybe oppressive. But the good news is that it's not. See, Christianity is not just a religion to follow. It's not just a set of rules to obey. But it's a God who we can know and enjoy. I mean, sometimes as Christians, it's easy for us to forget that, isn't it? I wonder if that was what was behind, what was driving you as you wanted to come to church today. Is that what you were hungry for? Is that what you can say as a Christian? What I long for is to know Jesus more. That when we talk to each other as Christians, it's very easy to talk about church, isn't it? Very easy to talk about meetings. But do we talk about Jesus? Do we talk about his power, his presence in our lives? So we can listen to Jesus and know Jesus personally today. But secondly, but there are lots of things that can distract us from that. We can listen to Jesus and know Jesus personally today, but there are lots of things that can distract us from that. You see, that's the word Luke uses about Martha. She's distracted. That word means like to be pulled away. She's overburdened with many things. Martha was distracted with much serving, Luke tells us. See, Jesus is in her living room. She's got the opportunity to listen and to engage with him. And maybe she started doing that. Maybe she began listening to him, but her mind was just buzzing. It was full of all the other things she needs to do. Everything else felt more important. Everything else felt more of a priority to her, and she was distracted. It's easy for that to happen, isn't it? I've seen that happen in our church many times. Perhaps someone who's come along and begun to investigate Christianity, and they show real interest. They want to know the truth about God, about Jesus, but there's so many other things going on in life. And some of the other things perhaps feel more urgent, feel more important. And eventually Jesus gets crowded out and they stop investigating. They stop searching. Or maybe a young person who's grown up in church and they hear lots about Jesus and they think lots about Jesus. But then little by little other things begin to take over. Other things begin to feel more important. Other things begin to feel more exciting, perhaps. And little by little, Jesus just gets crowded out and they drift away. It's easy for that to happen to those of us who are Christians as well, isn't it? You see, Martha loved Jesus. Martha knew Jesus was special. Hearing him speak was important, and yet Martha was still pulled away by other priorities. There was so much else to do, so much else to think about. And what's interesting, I think, in these verses is that it's good things that are distracting her, isn't it? It's not like Martha's wasting time doing nothing. She's not daydreaming. She's not just sat on the sofa on Facebook. She's busy serving. But she's still got her priorities wrong. And I think the really interesting thing about this chapter is this chapter, Luke chapter 10, is all about serving. At the beginning of chapter 10, the disciples are sent out to serve. And then in the verses beforehand, we've got the parable of the Good Samaritan, all about showing practical love to your neighbour. And now here is this story. And in this story, there are two women who are there, and one of them is serving, and one of them is sitting and listening. And in a chapter all about serving, you'd expect Jesus would make Martha the example to follow, wouldn't you? But he doesn't. And I think Luke puts this story here in this chapter to show us this. Serving is important, but the priority is not what we do for God, but our relationship with God. Listening to him. Talking to him, spending time with him, enjoying him, and even serving God, even serving others, is not to pull us away from that. I remember reading a quote a few years ago that really challenged me. It said this: we've become too busy to sit at Christ's table. We mistakenly derive our spiritual joy from service instead of communion. We do more and more for a Lord whom we know less and less. We mistakenly derive our spiritual joy from service instead of communion. We do more and more for a Lord whom we know less and less. Remember one time, I used to be a missionary in the Philippines. I remember one Sunday, I was there in our church, and I got there early in the morning, kind of 8:30, and you're trying to organise everything, and then the Sunday school lessons begin, and I was thinking about the children, and how we help the teachers better teach the children, and then we went into our service, and I was thinking more about the music, and kind of the service was packed. How could we get more people in? What were we going to have to do? Because we were getting crowded, and then we had lunch together, and you're thinking, have we got enough food to serve everybody? And then in the afternoon, chatting to people, and then in the afternoon service, one of the young men preached, and I was beginning to think about how we could help him progress in his preaching. And so I got at the church at about 8:00 in the morning, got home about 7 or 8:00 in the evening, sat on my bed exhausted in the evening, and it struck me, I haven't thought about God all day. I've been so busy all day and I haven't thought about God at all. I wonder if that's true of you this morning, doing more and more for a God who you know less and less. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? Easy to be pulled away, and knowing Jesus can just be crowded out. Time spent with Jesus, crowded out in a hive of activity. Even when good things can do that. When I became a pastor a few years ago, I began reading Spurgeon's lectures to my students, and one of the first things I read in that, Spurgeon said this: take heed to yourselves, lest you famish yourselves while you prepare food for others. Isn't that challenging? You can be busy serving and helping others and starve spiritually yourself. We can listen to Jesus and know Jesus personally today, but there are lots of things that can distract us from that. Thirdly, so remember, this is still the one thing necessary. This is still the one thing necessary. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Now, let me be clear. Jesus is not saying everything else is worthless and trivial. Jesus is not saying there's nothing else that's good and necessary. There are all sorts of things in life that are important, aren't there? All sorts of things in life that are right to do. All sorts of things that we need to do this week. But Jesus is saying there are priorities, and nothing is more important than knowing him. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. Maybe you've come with all sorts of problems, all sorts of difficulties, all sorts of complications in your life that are real, that are big, that are true. But Jesus would say to you this morning, what you most need is him. What you most need is to find Jesus as your King and your Saviour, to receive his salvation and to enter his kingdom, because there is nothing that is more important than that. That's the only thing that will last forever. That's the only thing that can never be taken away in life or by death. And you might think, well, what have I got to do to get that? Well, actually, it doesn't start with what you have to do to get that. It starts with what Jesus has done. See, Jesus is here in Martha's house, but Jesus is not going to stay here for long, because Jesus is heading somewhere. Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, Jesus is going to suffer and die. God, who's become man, Jesus is the God-man who's come to earth to rescue us. And his perfect life is going to cover our failures. Jesus is going to head to Jerusalem, die a terrible death, and be separated from God. And in our place, he's going to carry our burdens and pay our debts and then rise again to win new life for us. And this gift, this salvation, is received not by trying harder, not by doing more, but as a free gift that's been won for us by Jesus. It's received by going empty-handed to Jesus and asking him to be your King, asking him to receive you into his kingdom. If you're not a Christian here this morning, let me encourage you, make that the one thing necessary. Make that the priority. And for those of us who are Christians, again, the point of this passage is not to say that everything else is worthless and trivial, that there's nothing else that's good and necessary. There are many good and necessary things we're going to do this week, this month, this year, throughout our lives. Many things that we're going to do that please God and glorify God. But remember, there is a priority. And nothing is more important than your relationship with God. That is the better thing. That is where the joy is. That is where the treasure is. Listen to David in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after. What's the one thing for David? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord's. Remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 10. Paul says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, that I may know him," says Paul. That's his longing. That's his desire. And Jesus would say to us this morning, this is the one thing necessary. This is the one thing that will last. The one thing that's of eternal value. So if you're a Christian, make that the priority. Personally, fight for space and time to read and to think and to reflect and to worship and to pray. Do that this week, and it will be a fight. It will take effort. It will take commitment. Our lives are so full, aren't they? Our lives are so busy. Don't wait for a time when there's nothing else to do, because there's always something else to do. And as a community, as church, as churches, we need to put ourselves in places where we can know Jesus better. Places where we can read and listen and think and pray. Great opportunities that we have on Sunday in our services and in our prayer meetings. And we need to be there, don't we? Not just out of duty, but because these are the ways God's provided for us to grow in our relationship with him, so that we can know him, we can enjoy him, we can have fellowship with him. If you're a Christian, don't let anything else crowd that out for you this week, this month, and throughout your life. Don't be so distracted that you miss out on what you most need. Don't be so busy that you neglect what is best. And don't try and serve without the joy and strength of knowing Jesus. To know him better. Let that drive you. Let that motivate you. Seek that, hunger for that, treasure that. Make that the one thing necessary. See, it's a simple story, isn't it? Mary and Martha. It's a simple lesson. Listening to and knowing Jesus is the one thing necessary. It was enough to fill a sermon. It is enough to transform your week and to change your life, to find joy and hope and peace and communion. Enjoy that with the living God, now and forever. It's all just a matter of priorities. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this simple story from your word. Father, our lives are often busy. Father, we often have so many things going on, so many things on our minds, so many responsibilities. Father, we thank you that you understand that. Father, thank you for the example of Jesus, that Jesus cared passionately about people, that Jesus served people, that Jesus was busy doing good things. Father, thank you for the example that we have to follow. But we thank you as well for the encouragement from this story, that knowing you, enjoying you, spending time with you is the priority, is the one thing necessary. Father, we pray that you'll forgive us that so often we treat that so lightly, as something that's not important. Father, so many other things that seem so much more important, and we can be just like Martha and miss out on the best thing, miss out on the one thing. Father, help us to find our joy as Christians, not just in what we do to serve you, but to find our joy in communion with you. That, Father, even if we could no longer preach or maybe teach or take Sunday school or do things in the church, if illness robbed us of all these things, that we would still have joy, because our joy is found in knowing you, in communion with you, the living God. Father, I pray for all of us here who are Christians this morning. Just stir up in our hearts that longing to know Jesus better. Father, we pray that that might drive us in our Christian lives. That might be the motivating thing. Just like David, we could say, the one thing I long for is to see and know the beauty of God. Like Paul to say, the thing that drives me, the thing I long for is to know Christ better. Father, help us to see that the treasure, the joy, The blessing of being a Christian ultimately is in knowing you, in a relationship with you. Father, we pray for any this morning who are not yet Christians. Father, I pray that they might see something of how worthy, how beautiful Jesus is. They might see something of the treasure that can be found in a personal relationship with the living God. How could that ever be boring? How could that ever be dull? How could that ever be irrelevant? Father, nothing can be greater than knowing you. And we pray for any who are not Christians yet this morning, that they might come to find you as their Father, as their friend. They might put their trust in Jesus, find this treasure, find this life, find this living relationship with you. Lord, we ask that just this simple story will challenge us and encourage us in all the busyness of life, in all the responsibilities, Father, to keep the priorities right, to keep the one thing necessary, knowing and loving Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen.